You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All of you Foxborough faithful, you are now locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast. Today is Wednesday, January 6th, 2020, and it's time to open up the midweek mailbag right here on your daily home for news, notes, and analysis infused with the occasional opinion on your six-time Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Pats Nation, thank you all once again for joining me here on this Wednesday episode of the pod. My name is Mike DeBate, your host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, which, of course, is a proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And folks, because it's your team every day, that means your questions, comments, and feedback are always welcomed and very much appreciated. Always feel free to share that feedback anytime by reaching out to me and following me on Twitter at MDABATEFPC. And while you're out there doing some Wednesday wandering through the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at LO_Patriots. Pats fans, we're at the midway point in your work week. Happy hump day to all of you out there. And even though it's a new dawn and a new day and a new year, hopeful to bring about change, some things still remain the same. And right here on Locked On Patriots, that means the midweek mailbag. For the first time in the calendar year of 2021, we opened up the midweek mailbag to your questions, comments, and feedback. And as always, you, the great listeners of Locked On Patriots, did not disappoint. Some great questions on the agenda today. I'm very much looking forward to answering them. And again, I hope that I do so to your satisfaction. And most importantly, I sincerely thank each and every one of you that took the time out of your schedule to send in a question for today's pod. I appreciate you very much, and thank you for always reminding me just how fortunate I am to have such an amazing base of listeners and supporters. You all make Locked On Patriots what it is, and that's why opening up the midweek mailbag is one of my favorite parts about being the host of this podcast. Especially because I get a chance to get some insight into the depth of knowledge you all bring to listening to this show. And the questions I've chosen to address here on today's pod range in a number of different subjects, from Julian Edelman to practice squatters like Jake Dolagala and Isaiah Zuber, future of Miles Bryant in this secondary, whether the Patriots would seriously entertain the idea of trading Stephon Gilmore in the offseason, and of course, last but not least, you knew our good friend the Countess of Klaz herself would have a tight end question. Folks, a lot to get to today on the pod. There always is when we open up the midweek mailbag, and in just a moment, I will take a deep dive into that mailbag and address your questions, comments, and feedback here today on Locked On Patriots. But first, the New England Patriots were in the news a little bit yesterday, and like most non-playoff teams, it was news about a subtraction from the Patriots front office rather than an addition. And of course, as you probably know, I'm talking about former Patriots Director of Player Personnel, Nick Caserio. For the benefit of those of you who may not have heard, or for those of you that might have just heard a little bit about this, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle reported yesterday that Caserio, who had interviewed for the Texans GM job, was in fact leaving New England to take that position. And if we're being honest, the handwriting has been on the wall with this one for quite a while. And I'm sure all of you remember, as well as I do, that the Texans actually tried, right around this time last year, to pry Nick Caserio away from New England. That resulted in the Patriots filing tampering charges against the Texans. The Texans eventually dropped their pursuit, and Nick stayed put in New England for one more year. But this time, Nick Caserio is heading to Houston, where he will assume the title of their general manager. I'm not going to sugarcoat this one, folks. This is a pretty big blow for the Patriots. Caserio had served as the Patriots' director of player or personnel since 2008. When you look at how the Patriots built their last three Super Bowl teams, Nick Caserio was very much involved in every aspect of that team building. I've seen him referred to as one of the architects of those three championship teams, and I can't argue with that at all. But Nick's duties and responsibilities didn't just end with player personnel. He's worn a lot of different hats during his time here in New England. And even though we all know that Bill Belichick is the general manager here in New England, I think you can make the argument that Nick Caserio came as close to that title without actually having it as you can get. Nick was always heavily involved in the draft process and the free agency process. In fact, a lot of times during the draft, it would be Nick that would meet with the media to describe picks rather than Bill himself. And having been on several of those press conferences, whether they be virtual virtual or in person myself, I can tell you that Nick was always forthcoming, honest, and knowledgeable, and I won't speak for anyone else, but he helped to make my job as a journalist that much easier in terms of providing the information that we need and none of the information that we didn't need. And as important as he was in the conference rooms, Nick was also very hands-on when it came to on-field action as well. Caserio was known to work out players during the pre-draft cycle. You'd often see him on the practice field throwing bombs to wide receivers. After all, Nick was a former college quarterback at John Carroll, so he knows a thing or two about throwing passes. And more often than not on game day, you could find him sitting in the coach's booth. Yeah, I know, folks, the guy did a lot. And the Patriots now have the unenviable task of trying to fill not just the shoes left behind by the former director of player personnel, but also someone that can do the intangibles that Nick Caserio did as well. So, bottom line, congratulations are in order for Nick Caserio. This is definitely a step up. He now becomes the general manager, the main guy for the Houston Texans when it comes to personnel decisions. It's clear to see why he would want this job. On a personal level, I wish Nick nothing but the best. He's always treated me with kindness and respect, and I could not be more appreciative of that. But I know the question on all of your minds right now is, how does this impact the Patriots? Well, not only do they have a vacant director of player personnel position open now, but also Nick Caserio was really Belichick's right-hand man. Probably the biggest thing that the Patriots are going to miss about Nick Caserio is that Bill trusted Nick to make moves on his and the Patriots' behalf. That's not a trust that's easily earned, and even though Bill still had the final say, he gave Nick Caserio plenty of freedom to do his job. The new director of player personnel that comes in, whoever he or she may be, is not only going to have big logistical shoes to fill, but they're also going to have to earn the trust of Bill Belichick. Again, two very tall tasks for a franchise that has been one of the most successful in all of professional sports in the last two decades. If that's not a hard enough wrong to right, Houston's choice to bring Nick Caserio on board could end up impacting the Patriots on more than just one level. Nick had a great relationship with a lot of coaches on this staff, and now that he's the main guy in Houston, he may want to take a little New England flavor along with him. I know, the name you're all looking at is Josh McDaniels. And with good reason, there's a lot of history there. Josh joined the Patriots organization alongside Nick Caserio back in 2001. Since then, they've arguably become two of the most important guys in the history of this franchise in the Bill Belichick-Brady era, not named Belichick, Brady, or Kraft. But not only did these two join the Patriots organization together, you just heard me say that Nick Caserio played quarterback at John Carroll back in college. Guess who his wide receiver was? That's right, Josh McDaniels. These guys were college teammates, they were college buddies, and they even shared a room together on road trips. So, based on that, it would seem like this is a foregone conclusion. Nick's going to pick up the phone and ask Josh to go and coach his team. Let's keep the buddy ship sailing along. Well, not so fast. Again, John McClain, who broke this news yesterday of the Houston Chronicle, says that from the sources he's spoken to, McDaniels is currently not seen as a candidate to fill the Texans' vacant head coaching position. Could this be a red herring on behalf of the Texans, or may they have their sights set on someone else? Maybe another friend of Nick Caserio's who just happens to be an offensive coordinator in the AFC East with New England Patriots ties. That's right, folks. I'm talking about offensive coordinator Brian Daboll of the Buffalo Bills, formerly of the New England Patriots. Keep a sharp eye on this one, folks. I think Daboll heading to Houston is a lot more likely than Josh McDaniels heading to Houston. But that's just my opinion. But there's still another name to keep a sharp eye on, and that is that of Dave Ziegler, who is currently the assistant director of player personnel. He ascended to that level last year, and right now is seen as the leading candidate to take over for Nick Caserio here in New England. But, much like McDaniels, Dave Ziegler is also an old college buddy of Nick Caserio, having went to John Carroll himself. At this point, it seems to be pretty obvious that the Patriots would love to keep Ziegler in the fold and have him take over for Caserio. However, he's actually a pretty sought-after candidate right now. Not only might the Texans have their eye on Dave Ziegler, but the Denver Broncos have also requested permission from the Patriots for their open general manager position that was recently vacated by Broncos legend John Elway. This one is still a little too early to call in terms of how the dominoes may fall as a result of Nick Caserio's decision to leave New England and join the Houston Texans. But one thing is certain, Nick Caserio is taking his talents to Texas. And even though it's not confirmed, the smart money says that he'll want to take at least some New England flavor along with him as he begins his latest chapter in his football career as general manager of the Texans. But how the Patriots will replace Nick Caserio is far from the only question they will be facing this offseason. In fact, we're just scratching the surface. And today here on the pod, it's the perfect opportunity to open the midweek mailbag and get a look at some of your questions when it comes to what the Patriots might do to prepare themselves for the 2021 season and even beyond. You, the listeners of Locked On Patriots, take center stage when the Midweek Mailbag Wednesday episode of Locked On Patriots continues. But first, Locked On Patriots is presented today by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting, limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Locked On listeners, 2020 is mercifully over, and it's a time for a fresh start and maybe even a few more wins. If you're betting this year and you want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Pats fans, it is the first Wednesday of 2021, and what better way to kick off the new year than to open up the Locked On Patriots Midweek Mailbag, and that's exactly what we did here on today's pod. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you that took the time out to submit a question for today's episode. It really means a lot to me from a personal standpoint, but professionally, I never cease to be amazed at the level of knowledge that you Patriots fans have when it comes to your team, what it takes to build a team for the following year, and your desire to keep obtaining more and more knowledge by asking some of the great insightful questions that you ask. This week, no exception. You all definitely brought it. So without further ado, let's dive right into the midweek mailbag here on Locked On Patriots. And the first question is submitted by Tucker Kahn, who has a little message for all of us here, subliminally in the brackets, Pats draft Zach Wilson. From your lips to God's ears, Tucker. Not sure how realistic it is, but I like the enthusiasm, and I really like the sentiment. You can find him on Twitter, at Tucker Ross Kahn. And Tucker's question is a three-parter, but it kind of relates in the final analysis. The first part of this question is a little bit of an offshoot of what Steve Balestrieri and I discussed yesterday here on the pod. And Tucker asks, could Miles Bryant be a number three corner or an important piece for the Patriots going forward? Tucker, this is an excellent question, and my answer to you is simply yes. And don't worry, Tucker, I'm not going to leave it at that. As the great Don would say, I will give you my reasons. Perhaps the most important reason why I see Miles Bryant as a potential key contributor for the Patriots secondary in the future is because of his versatility. Don't forget that Miles joined this team as an undrafted rookie free agent. He started and was signed as a cornerback, but he's seen quite a few snaps as a safety. And that's something that the Patriots absolutely love. In fact, Bill Belichick even mentioned this during one of his December press conferences when asked about Miles, and he mentioned that they tried to evaluate him early at the corner position, but between doing scout team and having depth in general on defense, he learned some other positions, some safety-type roles. And to Miles' credit, this is not the first time he played safety. He did assume that role for a period of time at the University of Washington. He actually was the starting safety during his 2019 senior season. And he played the safety position both the free safety and in the box. He also aligned as a slot corner at times. He even lined up a few times as a perimeter cornerback. So when you talk versatility, Miles Bryant is someone that can play all over the secondary. The Patriots love that Swiss Army knife type of player that can do it all. And I saw a lot out of Miles Bryant this year that tells me there's a bright future. In order to get himself on the field this year, he played most of his snaps in a safety alignment. He was either a free or a box safety and played there a lot more than a slot corner. And in a lot of ways, Tucker, he actually became quite a nice rotational piece in the Patriots secondary. In my opinion, if he's going to carve out a role on this team, I think it's going to be either as a box safety or maybe as a slot corner. As Steve and I discussed yesterday here on the pod, Miles actually got quite a few snaps on Sunday against the Jets in the free safety role, and even though he plays the position with a fierceness that's beyond his size, makes it a little on the difficult side for him to play the deep middle, so I don't think free safety is really the spot for Miles Bryant. If you watch where he's been most effective this season, I think it might be at the slot safety, but ultimately, he may be the heir apparent to Jonathan Jones as the slot corner. I think maybe after a year or even two, he's going to be ready to assume this role, and then watch out. Folks, Miles Bryant to me has star written all over him. Maybe not a pro bowler, maybe not an all pro, but he'll be a key member of the secondary for the Patriots for many years to come, and I really like what I see out of this kid. The second part of Tucker's question was related to yet another practice squatter, a youngster who's trying to carve out a niche for himself in the Patriots roster in 2021, and that's quarterback Jake Dolagala. Tucker is inquiring as to how Jake looked in college, since there's not too much game film on him during his time with the Cincinnati Bengals. Patriots must have seen something. Why did they want to bring him along? First off, Tucker, what they probably saw in Jake Dolagala is what most people see in him. Size. Listed at 6'7", 250 pounds, this kid can definitely come in and be an imposing presence under center. And that really was the case since he started his collegiate career at Central Connecticut State in 2015. Automatically became the starter and really had a very impressive senior season. Connected on 61% of his throws, passed for 2,221 yards and 16 touchdowns against just 6 interceptions. That earned him a spot on the All-Northeast Conference first team, and he holds Central Connecticut State's records for both passing yardage and touchdowns. He also rushed for 18 touchdowns during his career and averaged over 4 yards a carry as a senior. So Dolagala is not just a big pocket passer, but that he's also pretty good at running the ball and can be mobile. Based on the footage that I've seen and the scouts that I've talked to when it comes to Dolagala, I think he's a developmental quarterback. He's intriguing to me, Tucker. He's got outstanding size, great arm talent, and he actually has a portfolio that really endears him to NFL squads. The knock on Jake Dolagala right now is he needs to throw with better timing, better placement, and he also has to learn how to read defenses. That's going to take a little bit of time, and I expect him to work that out on the practice squad. But the Patriots are keeping this kid around for a reason. I, for one, would love the opportunity to watch this kid develop during minicamp, OTAs, and eventually during training camp, and maybe even preseason. One thing I will say that works in Jake Dolagala's favor is that he was the victim in college of quite a few dropped passes. The talent that was surrounding him at Central Connecticut State wasn't exactly lighting the lamp. So to me, it's going to be interesting to see what he can do with some NFL-level talent around him. If there are some young players on this roster that he can develop a pretty good relationship with, it could be interesting to see if Jake Dolagala can emerge his way into a backup role on this team, or maybe even a starting position in the NFL at some point. That last part may be a little bit of a jump, but I think he has the talent and the size to do it. It's just going to be whether or not he can get the mechanics and the intangibles down. If he does, he could be a solid pro. And rounding out the third part of Tucker's question is, once again, talk about a practice squatter that's trying to find his niche on the 2021 Patriots and beyond, and that's wide receiver Isaiah Zuber. Tucker wants to know if we can expect to see more of Isaiah Zuber this year, and I, for one, hope that is indeed the case. And Zuber has shown flashes, there's no question about it. For a while, he was gaining an awful lot of mentions on social media, almost becoming like a cult hero as a result. The stat line is definitely not going to raise the flag. He had a pair of catches for 29 yards and a pair of carries for 21 yards. But don't forget that part of the reason why that stat line is so bare is because he was usually designated as an elevation for the COVID-19 replacements. Really didn't see a whole lot of time on an NFL football field this year at all. But it's clear that the Patriots saw something in Zuber. He's got a great burst, he's got pretty quick hands, and in true Patriots fashion, he's versatile. He's the type of receiver that can go out, make catches in the slot, maybe line up on the outside and get some yardage, and he can also carry out of the backfield. I've heard some compare him to a young Cordarrelle Patterson. I think that's a little premature. After all, Cordarrelle is a Pro Bowler and a seasoned veteran, but that may be the type of mold or the type of niche that Isaiah Zuber might be able to find in the NFL. Much like Jake Dolagala, and even Miles Bryant to an extent, will benefit from a full offseason. That means OTAs, that means mini camp, that means training camp, and it also means preseason games. Now, some that love to do their swimming in the snark pond will say, "Oh, I didn't think all that was all that important. Tom Brady didn't show up for a lot of that stuff." Yeah, there's a reason for that, folks, because he's Tom Brady. We're talking, at this point, young developmental players that need that time to develop. So when you take players with flashes of talent and the physical skills, like the players you asked about, Tucker, Miles Bryant, Jake Dolagala, Isaiah Zuber, they're going to need that prep time. And hopefully in 2021, they'll have that developmental time to develop relationships, hone in skills, and get some much-needed on-field experience, so that way the Patriots can truly evaluate what they have on their practice squad. It's very early, but my guess, I think they're going to like what they have in all three of these guys. If you're asking me which one has the best chance to crack the 53-man roster this year, I say without hesitation, Miles Bryant. But don't sleep on Dolagala, and definitely don't sleep on Zuber. Tremendous upside there. They just have to hone in their skills and find a way to put it all together. So Tucker, thank you for an amazing three-part question. Really enjoyed answering this one. I hope I was able to your satisfaction, and thank you very much for all of the support that you provide for Locked On Patriots. Our next question comes to us from one of our very favorites here on Locked On Patriots. You know her great work from being a columnist for Full Press Patriots, also a UK correspondent for Patriots 4th and 2, and the third chair on 2 Patriots Place, alongside two stalwarts here on Locked On Patriots, the Green King of Sting himself, Thomas Murphy, and our resident voice of reason, Steve Balistrieri. She is the Countess of Klaz, Klazzy Claire herself, Claire Cooper. And brace yourself for the shock, folks. Claire is asking a question about, wait for it, a tight end. I know, shocking, folks. Claire, I'm only kidding, you know we all love you. Claire's question is actually a very good one. It was one that made me smile, and she asks, Hunter Henry, Coach Bill seems keen. How about you? Well, Claire, this is definitely a question that is near and dear to my heart. After all, I was covering the Los Angeles Chargers when Hunter Henry was drafted. You're absolutely right. Coach Bill is very keen on Hunter Henry. I'm very keen on Hunter Henry. Why, you may ask? Well, because he possesses that quality which the Patriots covet most, versatility. At 6'5", 250 pounds, Hunter definitely has the size needed to be a formidable tight end in this league. That's why he's going to be among the most sought-after tight ends on the free agent market. Hunter knows how to put that size and strength to his advantage. He's a dedicated route runner, he's great for short yardage catches, he's a very good weapon in the red zone, and don't laugh at this, folks, but he does have the ability to drop in and stretch the field a little bit, too. I'm not saying it's going to happen often, but it could happen on occasion. Hunter's got great hands, and he's able to go up and make contested catches. The cost of signing him to a free agent deal is probably not going to be astronomical. I think the Patriots could reasonably get this done with an offer of $10 million a year for about 5 years. That's pretty reasonable considering what the market will bear when it comes to tight ends. Now, a lot of you may be sitting out there saying, well, why should the Patriots have to fork out that much money for this guy when there's a possibility that University of Florida tight end Kyle Pitts might be available and the Patriots can draft their tight end of the future? I love Kyle Pitts' game. Steve Balistrieri and I discussed him yesterday on the pod. I've discussed him in the past with Mark Schofield. This kid can go up and make catches all over the field. He will be that tight end offensive weapon that the Patriots have been coveting since Rob Gronkowski left. That being said, Hunter Henry is still number one on my wish list for this team at tight end. And the reason being is that Hunter is a tremendous blocker as well as a good receiver. That's something that Kyle can develop into, but he hasn't showed too many tendencies of doing so during his time at Florida. Having covered Hunter Henry during my time on the Chargers beat and keeping a sharp eye on him from afar, I can tell you this is a kid that is not afraid to put his hands in the dirt and get into the run blocking game, even into pass protection if need be. You might even see an occasional snap in which he lines up at the H-back or the fullback position. Right now, the Patriots have two young tight ends on their roster, Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene. I still think the Patriots are high enough on both where they want to see how they can develop with a full offseason. If that's the case, adding another rookie to the mix may not be the best way to utilize their talents or bring about their potential. That's where you're going to need a veteran. And right now, Hunter Henry is still young enough at age 26 to be a big-time contributor, but still is battle-tested enough in the NFL to be a mentor to guys like Asiasi and Dalton Keene. And there's the operative word there, Claire, Keene. I'm keen on Hunter Henry because of what he can do for Keene and Asiasi. How's that for alliteration? After all, you didn't make me the admiral of that ship for nothing. So, Countess, once again, thank you for the great question. Big surprise it wasn't a tight end, but this is one that I really enjoyed listening to. All kidding aside, thank you so much for all of your support of Locked On Patriots and for asking a great question that allows me to pull on my time at the Chargers beat. But folks, we're just getting warmed up here in the Locked On Patriots midweek mailbag. We've talked a lot about Patriots' potential, both from free agents and from players that are currently on the roster. But what about two of the most beloved New England Patriots on the roster right now? Will they still be on the roster when this team opens the regular season in just a few months? We will discuss that next here on the Locked On Patriots podcast as we continue our deep dive into the midweek mailbag. But first, Locked On listeners, are we ready for some football? Of course, we're always ready for some football. College football is heading into bowl season, and there are some big matchups still to come. The NFL regular season has finished up, and Wild Card Weekend is upon us. There is only one place that has you covered, and one place we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag, and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Looking for the latest lines on Wild Card Weekend? Well, BetOnline.ag has you covered. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Also, visit our good friends and exclusive partner on social media at BetOnline_AG. And do that to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Locked On listeners, Wednesdays on Locked On NFL take a dive into the future of your favorite NFL franchises. Tony Wiggins and James Rapien are joined every week by a Locked On draft expert to talk prospects in the upcoming draft and young NFL players fresh in the league. Did your team have a big rookie performance this week? Or are they shaping up to have a premier draft pick in the 2021 draft? Get everything you need Wednesdays on Locked On NFL. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcasts. Pats fans, we continue our dive into the Locked On Patriots midweek mailbag here on this first Wednesday of 2021. And in the previous segment, both Tucker and Claire took us into the Patriots roster and some of the potential moves that might be made by the team in the offseason. We talked about the promise of some young practice squatters and also the potential of adding a free agent at the tight end position. But two of the most common questions not related to the quarterback position are centered around two of the most beloved current New England Patriots on the roster. The first of which comes from a great friend and supporter of the podcast, Joel from Hull at JoelShapiro20. And Joel wants to know, if the Patriots decide to part ways with cornerback Stephon Gilmore, would you rather the Patriots trade Gilmore for an elite player around the league or for draft picks? Who would you want in a player for a player trade, and what would you expect from another team in terms of giving us draft picks? Joel, this is an excellent question. It's definitely a relevant question, and one that fans and media alike all across Patriots Nation are asking themselves. As we stand right now, Stephon is under contract with the Patriots through 2021. He's scheduled right now to make just $7 million. That's a number that I don't think he'll play under, and if I'm being honest, I don't think he should play under. At the same time, he has a pretty hefty cap hit, $17 million, and that's something that I know the Patriots would like to change. One of the best ways to fix this problem for everyone around, and I'm speaking largely in part for myself because I, for one, would hate to see Stephon have to move on from the Patriots, is to work out a long-term extension. And realistically, they'd probably use Jalen Ramsey's $20 million per year deal as a blueprint for those types of negotiations. I've seen some throughout the Twitterverse that say Stephon is not worth that. You've got J.C. Jackson, plug him in there. Stephon's past his prime. Well, I love J.C., and I think the Patriots should definitely keep him around. But at the same time, we saw how this secondary can suffer when Stephon Gilmore is out of the lineup. I think this is a guy that the Patriots need to bring back if they're serious about trying to contend in 2021. The only way I see the Patriots choosing to move on is because they do have a strong secondary, and based on that, they may make the determination that their money is best spent elsewhere. If that's the case, then we're talking trade, because I don't think the Patriots would release Stephon Gilmore outright. And there are two kinds of trades that the Patriots could make centered around Gilmore, Joel, and you mentioned both of them. One would be for a collection of draft picks, and the other would be for active players. And even that type of trade could have multiple layers to it. One, they could go in the direction like a baseball route, trade Stephon Gilmore for a number of younger players, prospects if you will. They could also try to gauge the interest level for a swap like-for-like elite player. If that's indeed the case, it would be a one-for-one. I can't see Stephon Gilmore netting two elite NFL-ready talented players to come back on this roster. To me, the most likely scenario, if they are going to trade Stephon Gilmore, would be for draft picks. Back in October, we heard the rumors that Stephon was indeed being shopped and that the Patriots were asking for at least a first-rounder in return. You'd have to think that the negotiations would start there. Now, I'm not saying the Patriots are going to be able to get that in return, but that's the type of deal they're going to be looking for. Gilmore's a generational talent, he's still got a lot left in the tank, and the Patriots are not just going to sell him for pennies on the dollar, especially when he's under contract for 2021. That means if the first rounder is not feasible for other teams, that may mean a collection of either a second and third rounder, maybe a second and a fourth. Or Bill Belichick could opt to flip the script. He may look for an elite pass catcher, or maybe even a quarterback. Those are two areas where a lot of people have said that Bill the GM has struggled to find good talent in the draft. Maybe he tests the trade waters and sees if Stephon Gilmore can bring him back some prowess on the offensive side of the ball. Bottom line, I don't think Stephon Gilmore is going to be moved in the offseason. I think the Patriots and he have worked out their issues. I think they're going to be able to coexist, and I think a long-term extension might be the best way to keep Stephon around, even if it's only in the short term, to help develop guys like J.C. Jackson, Miles Bryant, and maybe even a Juwan Williams if they decide to make him more of a thumping cornerback rather than slide him into the safety role. But if, in fact, the Patriots find they have no other alternative but to move Stephon, then, Joel, I would say they should try to move him for draft picks rather than a straight-up NFL talent, simply because I think the long-term value they receive from him is going to be greater than simply a player that they might be renting. So, a great question, Joel. I hope I was able to answer it at least partly to your satisfaction. And what can I say? Thank you so much for all of the support that you provide, not only to Locked On Patriots, but also to the other location where you can hear me each and every morning, FBC Radio Live, alongside my good friend and co-host Ian Glendon. Stay safe and well, Joel. Appreciate you very much, my friend. Pats Nation, we are almost ready to close up the Locked On Patriots midweek mailbag for this episode, but not before addressing a question on who just might be the most beloved Patriot still left in Foxborough. Of course, I'm talking about number 11 in your programs, and now, folks, number 1 in your heart, and that's wide receiver Julian Edelman. After Julian's 2020 season was cut short by injury, and with only 1 year left on his contract, a lot of people are wondering, will Julian Edelman be a New England Patriot next season? And that very question was asked by one of our most valued listeners, Rich G. Bruins fan, at RichG6567. And Rich asked the painful question, have we seen the last of Julian Edelman in a Patriots uniform? Rich, if I'm listening to my heart, I would absolutely say, no, we haven't seen the last of him in a Patriots uniform. I would like to see Julian retire as a New England Patriot. Everything he's given to this team on the field is truly one of the most remarkable things I've had the privilege to cover during my time on the Patriots beat. If I'm thinking with my head, I'm probably saying, yeah, we may have seen the last of Julian, simply because it's difficult for him to stay healthy and on the field. He has only 1 year left on his deal, and at age 34, it's not likely that someone that's had the injury history that he's had still have it within him to put up better numbers than we've seen him put up in the past. That being said, anything is possible, and it might just end up coming down to money. I know, Rich, big surprise, but that's the way of the world. Right now, Julian is on the books for approximately $6.2 million in the final year of his contract next season. That's relatively affordable, and the team would save about $2.7 million this offseason if they traded him or if they released him. Now, some would say that based on his age and his injury history, releasing him or trading him and getting that $2.7 million savings is better business than just leaving Julian on the roster, where he'll be 35 next season and subject to possibly more injury. It's possible that Julian might just up and retire, and therefore end all of the speculation. Over the past two seasons, he's had a ton of injuries to play through, and if you think about it, he really doesn't have anything left to prove on the field. In 12 years in a Patriots uniform, Julian's collected 620 receptions, 36 touchdowns, 6,822 yards receiving, and that's not to mention his postseason accomplishments, which is where I believe he may get Hall of Fame consideration someday. Three Super Bowl titles, one Super Bowl MVP award, and there's no question that his place within the Patriots dynasty is cemented. But based on what I've heard out of Julian's camp, including social media messages that say that he's ready to tackle 2021, I don't think this is a guy that's looking for retirement. He's going to look to play at least one more year. But will that be in New England? Well, right now, according to the way the roster looks, Julian can still come back onto this team, having missed most of 2020 with an injury, being 35 years old, and still being the number one option without any question. We're talking about a core that right now includes Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry, Dante Moncrief, Gunnar Olszewski. Also, don't forget the team is returning Marquise Lee, who opted out this year due to COVID-19. I didn't mention Damier Byrd because he is a free agent. The Patriots would have to re-sign him and bring him back. But if the Pats are unable to significantly upgrade their wide receiver position, they may still look to Julian Edelman as a savvy veteran that knows how to get the job done, knows the system, and can work with a new quarterback. That type of value is hard to replicate, and based on that, I still think that logistically on the field, There is a case to be made for bringing Julian Edelman back and having him be a part of this wide receiver core next year. And if you're worried about finances, this, according to our resident cap guru, the Top Gun himself, the Wizard of Benzon, my man, the Pats cap, Miguel Benzon, the Patriots would only incur a cap hit of less than $6.2 million next season, which is something I think the Patriots can live with, especially if they decide that keeping Julian on the roster is in their best interest. However, the wild card in all of this will be if the Patriots decide that this season coming up in 2021 will be one in which they try to contend, or if it's going to be another in which they're trying to rebuild. If that's the case, given Julian's age and the likelihood that he probably doesn't have too many years left in the tank to play at this point, then the Pats may take a look at that $2.7 million and say, we're better off saving it at this time and maybe giving Julian the option of going and playing out the string of his career in an environment in which he has a chance to contend for a Super Bowl title. I know what you're all thinking, and believe me when I tell you, I think it's possible if the Patriots cut him loose. I'm just saying, don't be a bit surprised to see him join up with a couple of old friends down in Florida. That's not anything I'm hearing from Julian's camp. That's not anything I'm hearing officially from the Patriots camp. That is purely my speculation. But if, in fact, Julian is not back on the Patriots roster next year, you have to think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at least going to take a look at him. And the reason why I think Tampa might be a likely destination for Julian, if in fact he's not back with the Patriots, is because I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to trade him. I can't imagine the trade market being too high for a wide receiver that's going to be 35 this year with the injury history that he has. Nobody has more respect and more affection for Julian Edelman and what he's done on the field here in Foxborough than I do. There may be those that have just as much, but nobody respects the man more. But facts are facts, and I think he would be very difficult to move via trade. Of course, the Patriots do have a history of calling up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and allowing one of their own to go migrate down to Florida. Rob Gronkowski, anyone? Yeah, maybe the Patriots try to work out that type of deal and get Julian shipped down to Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay. So, Rich, there are the scenarios, but I haven't exactly answered your question yet, have I? Well, to be honest, the only one that can truly answer that question, I believe, is Julian himself. He's going to have to determine first whether or not he wants to play, whether or not New England is where he wants to play, and if that's the case, he's going to have to prove to the Patriots brass that he's healthy enough and dedicated enough to make it through at least one more year in Foxborough. If that's the case, then I do believe Julian Edelman will be back in a Patriots uniform next year for one more season. I'd be disappointed, slightly surprised, but definitely not shocked if the Patriots decided to move on from him, but I think there's still a desire for both of these sides to work something out. With a minimal cap hit, plus a tremendous upside if Julian is indeed healthy, then I think the Patriots would be smart to keep him on the roster, if for no other reason than to mentor some of the young talent they have at the wide receiver position this year. I think that's going to be the best move for the Pats, whether they decide they're in contention or not. So, Rich, thank you for your great question and for helping us close up the midweek mailbag here on Locked On Patriots this week. I'm hopeful that I was able to provide you with a little insight and a satisfactory response to your question. Ultimately, the fate of the 2021 New England Patriots is still very much up in the air. There is still a ton of time and a lot of dominoes need to fall before we get a clear picture of what this team is going to look like. And seeing that the quarterback position is one that we haven't mentioned in a couple of days, I thought Thursday would be the perfect opportunity to welcome in an old friend. Zach Blackerby, host of Locked On Auburn, will join me here on the hot seat tomorrow. And we will discuss that Auburn connection at quarterback that, if we're all being honest, didn't quite work out as we had hoped for on the field. We're going to talk Cam Newton, we're going to talk Jarrett Stidham, and what the future of either or both might be in a Patriots uniform. So, to ensure that you do not miss a single second of the action, download and subscribe to the Locked On Patriots podcast on platforms such as Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Just make sure that you're staying locked in to Locked On Patriots. Once again, my name is Mike DeBate. I thank Tucker, Claire, Joel, and Rich for submitting the questions for today's midweek mailbag episode. But most of all, I thank each and every one of you for listening and for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. Until tomorrow, stay safe, stay well, continue to be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.